From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show.
Good afternoon, David Cotter here from Central County Council, coming to you live from Corker Park for The Sod Show.
Yeah, hold on a minute there, David Cotter from South Dublin County Council. God, he's very eager, isn't he? We'll get to you in a few minutes, David Cotter from South Dublin County Council. Anyway, this is The Sod Show. I'm Niall O'Keefe, and I'm told I have to press this button here. Ah, yes, we are the winners. Dublin's only garden radio show and podcast. The Sod Show, brought to you by greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, was awarded the coveted title of Ireland's Best Podcast 2012 at the Blog Awards last Saturday night. Well, we're delighted with the award, and of course, we'd like to dedicate it to you, the listeners, be it when we're live on air or in podcast. Your listening, your interaction, and your words make it all so very worthwhile. More than that, you make us smile. Thanks also, of course, to the awards organisers and to the fine folks here at Dublin City FM, particularly Heather McLeod and station manager Mick Hanley. Look, you guys, you're legends. And also to every single person who's appeared on the show in the past, be they interviewees or those who hosted us on days out. You're all gorgeous. You really are. And I'd be happy for any of you to marry my sister any day. Oh, except you. You stay away from her. Now, this week we're doing things a little differently on The Sod Show. We've a bit of music later on from a brand new album that's out, today, which celebrates the musical lives and achievements of the fabled 27 Club. These are the musical icons who died at the age of 27. So like Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain, they feature in there. But the music is from legendary Irish crooner and the voice that's melted many a heart, Mr. Jack Lukeman. That's coming up in a while. But before that, and before we get into any more gardening news, we're heading up the country with Peter Dunnigan and friends. We're doing it early this week because this week is part two of two in our special edition covering the Sod Show non-gardeners outing to Corker Park in South County Dublin. Now, you may remember last week South Dublin County Council's David Cotter told us what the whole idea of the park was.
The whole idea of this particular park was to be an amenity for the local people of Cantochan and Talla, but we find more and more now there's visitors coming from all over the country to here.
Isn't that nice? So let's get straight into it with part two. David Cotter is joined by Peter Dunnigan and our Sod Show non-gardeners group, along with South Dublin County Council's Joe Hickey and first, Moira Donal.
The park is a wonderful classroom for all sorts of, you can hit lots of different subjects. And one of the things that we've developed in Sean Walsh Park and also here is a maths trail. So teachers can download a maths trail and you can have a maths class actually here in the park, and that brings you to different points of the park.
We'll move.
I just say a quick thing to mention that for the Millennium event, which I think was very important to maybe mention this, that it was a pioneering initiative in conjunction with the Tree Council of Ireland, CVI and the Council itself, where they planted what was 5,000 trees in the space of 5 hours in a kind of record-breaking event, and it was done. Actually, it was about, 300 people. I myself was here as well, helping to plant those trees. And it was a great buzz. And a lot of those trees are still, it's the bulk of the middle of the park, which you see when you head back down towards the car park, you will see where a lot of those trees that were part of that initiative were planted. I think, Duncan Stewart was the guest of honour to spur everyone on as they got the spades to dig the trees. Did, by any chance, Joe, have you referred to the baseball here?
A lot of people know about it because yourself said they're out in, where'd you say it was?
Blackrock.
But it's a very popular sport. You know, they're not here today, which is unusual. You know what I mean?
You'd hear them before you see them, wouldn't
just
you?
Just one other thing, these ash trees that you see here, every one of those were taken off the Font Hill Road when they widened it 3 or 4 years back, and they just brought them in and sat them in there. And as you can see,
they all grew very well.
They grew up to an excellent state, you know what I mean? So, again, there was nothing thrown out.
To answer your question there, this was an initiative of, Peter O'Malley, the Dodgers baseball. Seemingly, he's a bit of a philanthropist. He was overseeing the Dodgers baseball team in America, and because he was of Irish ancestry, And he was involved in projects where they put them similar type of facilities in other countries, particularly Nicaragua, Dominican Republic. There was a feeling that because there was an actual growing interest in baseball in this country, that they just needed somewhere to do it, to actually build the site. He was willing to give a donation of money towards the establishment of them. And that's how it came about, basically. The Irish Baseball Association? So he provided the money.
Oh, there it is. Now it's recording.
Right, and they're not occupied. Can lead to all types of unwanted behaviour. Mm. You know, and it's a pity.
Yeah.
Really is. It's a haven for people who wish to go to the other world. Yeah. Right, and that is why it has to be checked each morning. You're on the safe side, you know what I mean? Because nothing's bad. Attempted suicide this year alone was about 7.
Really?
Yeah. One about 4 years ago, just down the bottom there. Yeah. Also, the big beech trees that on the soccer pitches out there, that is now becoming an area for that. It's sad life in the sense it's people who are just lost it completely. Mm-hmm. It's people who have unfortunately coming off drugs, right, and they just lose their head for that few minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if this was occupied, that would cut that out. You know what I mean? If there's something happening
and
in there.
Is there a possibility it could be occupied, or is it too costly?
It's too costly. Yeah. To redo the whole site, you know what I mean, to what it formerly was, it would be a fabulous achievement, I have to tell you. Because the history alone to it and all to that. But that's never going to happen for the foreseeable future, like, you know what I mean. But like, unfortunately, the suicide rate is up all around. It's everywhere, you know. So.
But it gives you an idea of what it was like.
Yeah, exactly.
It would have been attached to the house.
Yeah.
And we'll see pictures of the house. The house, unfortunately, was not, so it's no longer there. But this gives you an idea of where it was near and what it would have been like.
Yeah, and there's all glass houses around the walls, right? And as you can see, the walls are done with red brick and stone.
Yeah.
Stone for moisture and red brick for heat. Yeah. You know. So the people who done this, right, without any knowledge at all, knew what they were at, going back those days. You know. And all done very little spirit level work, I can assure you, with these walls. You know what I mean? So it's walls that are meant to stay there. And fabulous height. A lot of the trees in here would be for frost protection against the crops as well. You know, so it's a farce. But if you want about 5 or 6 million to redo it, you know, so when you win the lottery, you know what to do.
Check your numbers today.
Maybe just before we go, I might just say two things. I mean, as I say, this is the wall garden that actually provided the produce, fresh produce, for the house every day, which we'll be seeing shortly. Unfortunately, the house is no longer there, Corker House, but the outbuildings are there. But this is where the workers at the time would have brought that fresh products over to the house. It's about 5 hectares in size, and I think Joe was saying that what's unique about it in the middle of it is a yew walkway there that's completely overgrown, but it'd be great if it can be reinstated. There's a duck pond in there as well. But the family, from talking to some of the older family members, they always remember the peaches and the fruits that used to grow, the nectarines and all that, because whatever way, they had the glass houses around the side of it. And there was actually a family, there was actually the steward of the estate lived in just there. Unfortunately, the house was burnt down in the, when was it, 1970s. And he had a window actually that he was able to see into the actual wall garden. But also, as I say, they had all these glass houses, and there's some lovely photos of them where they grew their peaches and other unusual.
Self-contained. They even had their own ice house where they store their own meat. You know, that's up at the entrance of the caravan park.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it was filled in a good few years ago. You know what I mean? Mm. But again, if money was there, I would imagine it's a great talking point. It's just to show people what life was like in those days.
Mm.
How they come up with these fridges underground, if you want to call them. You know what I mean? Fabulous job, fabulous.
One of the things, before the family had to sell it, because it, as you can imagine, after the 1900s, it became very hard to maintain estates because you had the economic depression there in the 1920s, just labour costs. A lot of these old houses had a lot of properties and they needed constant maintenance, and it was just so difficult. So families were didn't have the personnel on hand to do the works. So in this particular case, Corker House was put up for auction in 1959, which we'll refer to it later on. And of course, but prior to that, they tried ways to generate income, and at times this wall garden was leased out to market gardeners to try and make a go at it, but also to give the family some income coming in. And that was done actually up to very recent times. There was a local family grew plants in here called the Carcells, and they actually lived in that house before it was sadly burnt and had to be demolished. One of the other things actually about this park, in 1999, the Parks Department commissioned a group to carry out a flora and fauna survey. And they found, after doing the research over a number of months, that there was something like 390 different species of animals and plants found in the park. Obviously, we think there's a lot more now since, and there's a need for it. But one of the largest concentrations of species to be found was actually here in the wall garden. Because of its overgrown state, it actually had its own habitat that was unique. So over 61 different species were recorded in it. So it's just something that nature left alone can do its own thing, and it becomes a provider.
Okay, we're going to take a break from Corker Park there. I'll have our sod show news for you in just a few minutes. But first, time for a bit of music. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, this is from a brand new album that's out today, which celebrates the musical lives and achievements of the fabled 27 Club. These are the musical icons who died at the age of 27. So the album features tracks from the likes of the Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix, Nirvana and Amy Winehouse, to name but a few, all performed by Mr. Jack Lukeman. Here he is with a sod show favourite, Going Up the Country by what band, Jack?
Can't hear, ladies and gentlemen. Blind Elvis. One, two, three, go! Screaming up.
Jack Lukeman on the Sod Show with Canned Heat's Going Up the Country, and that is from the album The 27 Club, which is out today. For more information, go to jacklukeman.com. Right, before we go back to Peter and friends in Corker Park, let's have a little bit of gardening news. And Peter himself, the award-winning, multi-talented and sweet-smelling horticultural host with the most, will be running a gardening course on how to grow your own trees and hedging plants. It takes place tomorrow week, that's Saturday, October 27th, from 10:30 in the morning till 1 p.m. in Ballybottle. Now don't worry, he'll send you an email laden with not too complicated directions to the location, which just happens to be his house, if you want to sign up. It's for absolute beginners, new garden owners, those who want to create community gardens on a budget, school teachers, trainers, garden enthusiasts, or simply the person who has a plot of land and doesn't want to go out and spend an absolute fortune on trees and hedging. So if any of those sound like you, why not come along and learn how to grow your own native Irish trees and hedging plants from cuttings, from choosing the right stock, preparations and pitfalls, all the way up to the finished and complete plant. It's not taking place in a classroom as there are more trees outside, and our man Peter likes a very relaxed atmosphere to this kind of thing. So there'll be a cup of tea to enjoy part of the way through, when you can ask questions or query as you see fit. All you need to bring is yourself. Oh, and secateurs, if you have one. A notebook and pen may also be handy. Anything else you may be unsure of, just give Peter a shout. The contact details are up on sodshow.com. Now, you may remember the name Teresa Tracy. The Offaly woman hit the headlines when she ended up in Mountjoy jail for 3 weeks a year ago after refusing to let the ESB and Air Grid onto her land to chop down trees. Well, the nature-loving 66-year-old has said she's willing to go to prison again if needs be, because the ESB are embarking on a multi-billion euro project of erecting power lines across Ireland. She believes her land and her trees are sacred and worth protecting. Now, a lady named Mia Malarkey is trying to get Teresa's story out there in a different way. She's putting together a short documentary film called Danger Overhead Power Lines, which intimately follows Teresa's experience during and after her imprisonment, giving an inside perspective that she says was unexplored by the media throughout the event itself. Well, the film is currently at the editing stage, but she needs help to tell the story. And yes, we're talking about financial help here. She's up on fundit.ie and is just over a quarter of the way towards the funds that she needs, €4,000, to finish the documentary off. So if you can afford a few quid, it seems like a cause worth supporting. Head over to fundit.ie. There's a link on sodshow.com. Ever fancied growing your own wine? Yes, you heard me right. Not just making your own, but growing it. It's a totally green, organic experience. Your own wine from the seed planted in your own soil, all the way to the drink in your own glass. Well, in my hand here, I have a packet of seeds. Hear them there? That we've obtained from D. Sewell of Greenside Up. They're seeds for growing your own parsley wine. And it's just one of many gifts they're offering on their new gifts page on their website. So if you're interested, head over there, check out their It's Wine O'Clock, A Wash with Squash, Bees Banquet and other gifts now. The address is greensideup.ie. Now, a special Sod Show announcement, and garden centres of the country, we're happy to give you a shout out on the Sod Show, but you've got to do something for us. We're coming to the end of the summer barbecue season, so there's bound to be a few of you with special offers on garden furniture, barbecues, that kind of thing, that our green-fingered and non-green-fingered listeners alike might enjoy. So tell us and we'll tell them. If you'd like to be the Sod Show's deal of the week, get in touch with us. Alternatively, if you're a garden centre customer and you've seen a good deal somewhere that you'd like to recommend, get in touch also. I truly hate this phrase, but in these recessionary times, we all have to help each other out, and good deals are well worth promoting. Sodshow.com or at Sodshow on Twitter. Finally, for now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago we heard from Phil Voice of Landscape Juice Network. He's the man who had the plan to ride a lawnmower from the south of France to the north of Scotland in aid of the charity Perennial, the Gardener's Royal Benevolent Society in the UK. Well, he made it to the end of his slightly bonkers journey after all, but it turns out that the donations to the cause were a little bit disappointing, as he's only reached just over £6,000 sterling of the £10,000 he was looking for. Well, we'll be interviewing Phil on an upcoming Sod Show very soon. But for now, you can find out more on his journey, including the audio boo updates that he did, and you can donate if you want to the very good cause by clicking the links on this week's show notes over on sodshow.com. That's our gardening news and announcements for this week. If there's anything you'd like included next week or any week, you can contact us via the usual methods, Twitter via @sodshow, or for more methods of getting in touch with the show or for any of the article links, websites, Twitter handles, etc. mentioned here. Head over to the website. It's an easy one to remember, folks, sodshow.com. Now, time to go back to Corker Park and the concluding part of our fascinating trip there from last week. Let's have a look at some buildings.
Just on the other side of the lake there is the remnants of a mill pond and also the remains of a gunpowder mill. Now, this is when the time when we're talking around 1717, and Nicholas Gruber set up a gunpowder mills here, and he had a contract for 21 years to manufacture gunpowder, and which he did. But it was extended on, so additional families took over the lease. These included the Arabans and the Chevenot, and between them they lived in this general locality. At one stage, we reckon that the Arabans lived in Corker House prior to another family eventually taking ownership, which we'll be touching on in a short little while. But I'll just pass those around. You can just have a look at it. Unfortunately, the bulk of there was actually recorded 9 of these gunpowder mills and associated buildings. We have 2 of the features in public ownership on this side of the land. On the other side is privately owned, and they're the actual descendants of the original family, the last families to live here, the Finleys and the Collies. And within that, they have examples of 4 good gunpowder mills and associated buildings. And then there's one other little piece of the whole complex that's in another piece of land, which is in private ownership, which is actually today is an AMA property. And the thing about these buildings, they had to be separated away from one another because making gunpowder at that time was very dangerous. And there's always the potential for an explosion. And if it exploded, if all the buildings were closely packed, the whole lot would have gone up. So that's why they spread them out. So as I said, we're lucky that we have 2. And the idea of these ponds are kind of an addition because they would have also been a way to control the water flow in the Camac at times, like in summer months, for the operation of the gunpowder mills. We reckon that the gunpowder was actually used more for muskets. And eventually new technology came along in the 1800s, and eventually it died out as an industry.
It's Cotty's house, is it?
It's the Holmes house. Today it's Christopher Mary. It's the late Valerie Holmes lived in that house.
And she was 97 or 98 when she died a couple of years ago. And those chains you see there, that was her swing as a child on the estate. So what we're going to do with that when it comes down, we're going to put into the museum inside. So that's another little bit of history. You know what I'm saying? As rotten as that bell is, it hasn't fallen. There's other areas belong to Mrs. Hone. Her own little private little swimming pool was in here. It's overgrown now. All the stuff like that has only come into light in the last couple of years.
You can see the trees, so you can see that it's quite close to where the house was, and those trees would have been planted years ago.
You can imagine being a child here growing up on this estate. It's like a hidden world. You could run in amongst the trees. They had, because it's a bit of a stream, an actual diversion of the river flows just along here. So they used to have a little pool there, so they used to bathe in it. Just here is an area known as the Cedar Lawns. And you notice the cedar trees there. And that was very popular with the families, particularly the Finley and Collie families, in having tea parties and recreational activities. And of course, I think Joe's going to point out the rose garden. Yeah.
That was discovered when they're putting in the sewerage here. The bucket of the machine went through the roof, and it goes up that way to the left of the rose garden and back into the right hand side, back into the other half of the estate. It also goes to Ballymount.
Can you get down through it, through the mountains?
Through that there. And one of the lads got down it and took a photograph of the inside. It goes back to the time, the Belgard Castle, which is headquarters for Rolstone Group, and at the back of the fire station on the Belgard Road, there was another castle called Ballymount Castle. All of those would have been interlinked with tunnels. Also, the reason why there's so many tunnels through all these areas was when the Danes would come to plunder, the monks go all these tunnels, but the Danes wouldn't, because they didn't know where they were going. And as clever as the monks were. Now, in later years then, of course, when this troubled times, 1916 risings and all this, that and the other, and when the motorways were being built, they'd done away with all those underground tunnels, because they just kept ripping out. They didn't know what they were ripping out. So there's only parts left. But then the IRA took it over and hid all their ammunition and guns and dynamites and all that up these tunnels. So God only knows what is up the best part of these tunnels. You just don't know. Right? And that's the best of this park, the history that's still underground. that hasn't been uncovered yet. You know what I mean? Also, up here in Kingswood, just where I lived, beside the Maldron Hotel, was Joseph Locke's house. It was also known King Billy lived there, and that's why all this area was called Kingswood. You know, after himself.
The reference of Cork Park to the Titanic is something that I've been a little bit of a stickler on. I've asked you to backtrack. Can you, I suppose, surmise it quite briefly for those?
Yeah,
briefly is probably a very ignorant word for me to use, but...
Yeah, indeed, actually. Yeah, the connection here is that Edward Pomeroy Colley tragically went down on the Titanic in 1912. Obviously, this year marks the centenary of the ship actually sinking. And the connection with Corker is that he was very friendly and had a good rapport with his sister-in-law, Edith Colley. And Edith Colley is the relative that actually lived here in Corker. And what we have is we have a little bit of an exhibition on display at the moment in the Depot Council Depot buildings in the park, which explains the history of Edward Pomeroy Colley, a bit about the Titanic, obviously, of course. But it also has copies of that letter, the last letter he wrote to Edith from Cove before the ship headed off into the Atlantic. And we have that on display here. So anyone is most welcome to come and visit the park to have a look at it.
Thank you so much. If people like Niall O'Keefe, who is in Dublin City FM studios at this moment
in time,
want to make a trip out to Cork Park, how do they go about getting in touch with you?
There's a couple of different ways, yeah. I mean, if they have the time, it'd be great to come and visit the actual park and meet the actual staff that are here. Because this is a living park and the staff are based here most of the time, except late at night and the odd time at the weekend. Talking to the park rangers to be able to share that information, they're most welcome to see the exhibition that we are now developing here, trying to capture the built and the natural heritage of the park. And obviously we have our website, quite a lot of information there available about Corker Park and all the attractions that are here. And there's contact numbers there, email addresses.
What's the website address?
sdcc.ie.
And head for the Corker Park bit. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolutely wonderful day.
Thank you. Hopefully it's given you all a flavour of the place. There's a lot more to see.
There is indeed a lot more to see in Corker Park, and our thanks to David Moira and Joe of South Dublin County Council, our tour guides on the day. That's it for your award-winning Sod Show for this week. If you've missed anything, you can check us out in podcast via audioboo.fm or on iTunes. Check out sodshow.com for the links. Thanks once again to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. We're back here next week at the same time. In the meantime, whatever you do in the great outdoors and whoever you do it with, enjoy yourselves. From Peter and myself, take care.